The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. It's a nice Monday. It is, March 29th, 2021. For those of you who are on the podcast listening, like Cameron, so when he hears it, he'll go, "Hey, it's me." He's a friend of mine. All right, so, hey, folks, look, we have five open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Why don't you give me a call, okay, because we could blab. Got a couple things I want to talk to you about. One, just a reminder, the CARM Israel trip's coming up next year. I mean, it's got a ways to go. But if you want to check it out and you want to go to Israel with us, with me, and a bunch of other people, all you got to do is go to CARM Israel, C-A-R-M, Israel.com, CARMIsrael.com. All the information you need is there. And let's see, we have three online schools. If you want to check those out, all you got to do is go to carm.org/schools. That'll give you some information you need. And we stay on the air by your generous support. So we don't ask very often. I don't need to. It's just we do stay on the air. We do need support. And so I'll just let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to have it continue, then all you got to do is go to carm.org/donate. And you can help us out. Yes, $5 a month, $10 a month, not much. And if we get that enough, then what we can do is we can make budgets and things like that. We can do all the things we need to do in order to, you know, do what we got to do with ministry and stuff like that, and our missionaries and all kinds of things. So there you go. That's that. So you'll be able to hear on the I forgot to flip a switch. So I got that done, taken care of. All right, hey folks, nobody waiting online. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Apparently I'm making people mad, which is nothing new, by saying they should not vote for candidates who support abortion and homosexuality and socialism. And that's my position, and that's what I hold to. And if you want to change the channel now, go ahead. I'm going to say what the Bible says. The Bible does teach against socialism. It teaches, believe it or not, capitalism. I can go through that if you're interested, get to the scriptures and things like that. But there's that. Now, let's get into a little bit of news items, because this is worth talking about. Nike sues rapper Lil Nas X over Satan shoes that have real blood in the soles. You know, I was talking to Keith. He's the producer of the show before the show, and he said, "Have you heard about this?" Yeah, my wife and I were talking about it, and then he reminded me. So I think this might be worth mentioning on the air here. So this guy, little man, rapper, Lil Nas X, he apparently has got real human blood in the souls. And there's a verse which deals with Satan, Luke 10:18, talk about Satan's fall from heaven, and it's on the shoe, and there's only 666 pairs will be made available. And they're selling, they're cheap, only $1,018 a pair, and were sold out shortly after going on sale. Now, what if I had some sneakers, holy water sneakers, you know? I think he's done that already, but I couldn't do it because I don't merchandise in trying to profit off of the work of Christ. But this guy, boy, I'll tell you. Let's see. I'm sorry. I'm laughing not because it's funny, but because some of the things associated with it. Anyway, nevertheless, let me get on topic here. The thing is, you know, when the world gets so bad that this kind of stuff is a marketing ploy, this kind of thing is sellable and people buy it. It's really bad. It's idiocy. you know, and add to that how homosexuality, pornography, abortion are just promoted, violence are promoted in society and things like that. Christianity's, you know, maligned. That which is good is evil, and that which is evil is good. You know, I watch movies, and I notice that the heroes usually are the bad guys. They're the ones who do good, and the good people are the morons. This is the way of the world. This is, it's really shameful. It's bad. It's what's happening. And that's what it is. You know, it's bad. And this doesn't surprise me in the slightest. If you want to give me a call, talk about that, you can. 877-207-2276. All right. We have four open lines. Give me a call, okay? Let's get on the phone with Mike from Greensboro, North Carolina. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Love listening to you on the Truth Network, so I appreciate you, man.
Amen.
The reason I was calling is there are a lot of people who are talking about how this vaccine may be the mark of the beast, and I think it's Revelation 13. But to me, it talks about, in Revelation 13, it talks about it would be in your forehead or in your hand. And I'm seeing people are getting this RFID chip implanted in their hands where they're buying and selling with it. And so I just, you know, I don't know if it's just a bunch of paranoia or I mean, what do you think?
No, it's not the mark of the beast. But you know, there are some issues with it, the DNA alteration procedure in it. What I'm worried about is it focusing our DNA on one particular strand of the virus and it becomes useless against other strands. So could it potentially become more dangerous? I don't want my DNA altered. I don't want things like that happening. I don't trust it. There's been too many cases already of people getting sick and some dying from it. So, you know, I don't want to be forced to take it. And the thing that people are talking about in relationship to the mark of the beast, you're forced to take the mark in order to buy and sell. Well, now I read that New York is talking about requiring a vaccine passport, whatever it is, to do or whatever it is in New York to travel inside of New York or some other things. I don't know exactly. I have to read the articles on it. I've been really busy today. But this kind of a thing is what I'm really afraid of, is that you can't buy or sell unless you have the vaccine a signature. You can the card, you know, Sieg Heil, you know, if you're bound to the state, you know, and if you don't, you got to wear a cross or a you know, David Star on your lapel. That's the kind of stuff I'm worried about. And yeah. I could talk a lot more about it, but it's not the mark of the beast. You're right. Forehead or right hand is where the mark is. And it could be in the mind and or the head talks about the mind and the intellect and the hand about what you do. It could be symbolic in that sense. That's something to entertain. But generally speaking, the prophecies of the scriptures are literal. So, yeah. You know, because I wouldn't be the left hand because the Muslims consider the left hand to be dirty. And the right hand to be the one that you eat with, and the left hand you clean yourself with. And so it wouldn't be the right. Left hand, it would be the right hand, which is why. And then if it don't have a right hand, you put it in your forehead. So, you know?
And that's actually the hand that people are getting the RFID chip in. And if you look mm-hmm. at it, especially it's happening a lot right now, I believe, in Sweden. And there's an American company, I saw this, and this was a couple of years ago in Wisconsin, where they were basically giving people the option to get this chip implanted in their hand, and it was their right hand, and that's how they would get in the doors, that's how they would mm-hmm. buy their food, and they said, eventually, that's kind of what we're going to. So, I mean, I'm no prophet or anything like that. I've just, from what I've seen, that seems to be closest to what I could see as the mark of the beast in the Bible, but I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, someone in the chat, Kelsey, made a little comment, which is correct. Doesn't the Antichrist need to be here? Yeah, and this is concomitant with the arrival of the Antichrist. So he is the one who requires this mark in order to buy and sell. So now, here's the thing. Could it be that the Antichrist is alive and well right now? Or does it mean that he has to be revealed and then say it? We don't know. We don't know, but
yeah, I tend to think that he has to be revealed first. But I, you know, doesn't it say in Revelation that if you, if anybody gets the mark of the beast, that you're, I mean, there's no going back from that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to be able to go to heaven if you get the mark of the beast. Is that right? Even if you say you're a Christian or
right. So one of the questions I've been asked before is, well, what if you don't know what it is? You're a Christian, and you know, you just get this thing. It turns out to be the mark of the beast. You know, that's not right. The issue. The issue, I believe, is you are knowingly taking it as a means of identification with that Antichrist figure, and that's what you're doing. And I think that's the context. The mark of the beast is a public sign or a sign of affirmation that you're following the one world leader kind of thing. And that's not in place yet, though I believe it's people are moving towards it. And I'm starting to think that there needs to be a global-ish kind of an issue. A plague would do it. There are other possibilities that could generate a global response and global submission. So a plague could do it. Also, a worldwide economic decay, obliteration of our economic strength, of almost all nations just gone. Well, you know, what do you do then? Yeah. Or it could be where the, you know, like the Muslims all over the place could just start fighting and killing, because that's what their Surah 9 says, and start doing that, and then to appease them, you know, Antichrist would come. Who knows? It could be, some people have said, a UFO invasion, in that UFOs can come, and it'll unite the world. So there's a lot of stuff.
Wow.
You know, or the Democrats take over. That could do it, too. That could do it.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you one thing before I get... Our governor today, Roy Cooper, the Democratic governor, Roy Cooper, came out and said, now, if you've gotten your vaccine, you need to go and tell your friends who haven't gotten the vaccine that they need to get their vaccine.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then the brown shirts of Nazi Germany will come, you know, they'll find you and they'll turn you in if you don't, you know, comply. And this is why, you know, you should read the book 1984. I have a shirt that I wore to church yesterday, Make 1984 Fiction Again. You know, 1984 is a dystopian novel. And the politicians are moving towards the left, the secular left. The Democrats are leading the way. The Republicans are following with little hooks in their noses, and as they're following towards the left. And, you know, it's horrible. So, you know, I believe there's a two-pronged approach we Christians should take. One is we should be praying for the movement of God in our country. And not only should we be praying, but we should be on our feet doing something. And that reminds me, on CARM, the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, CARM.org, the website that I have, I've released an article, which I need to work on a little bit today. I've been really busy today, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to. I got something else going. I don't know. I got so much going on. But it's, let's see, submission. Wait, no. It's newsworthy, news items. I can't remember what it is. I got so many things I've written. I'm trying to get a list of governmental agencies that, let's see, government, where is that? Government agencies. Maybe we'll find it and put it in the thing. What I'm trying to do is, man, I had it. Oh, man, I don't know where it is. Yeah, I read the Equality Act, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, I read that. Oh, elected officials and federal and state contact information, that's what it is. So if you were to go to CARM and look up elected officials, that will get you. Elected officials and federal and state contact information. In fact, I'm going to talk about it for the break because I think people need to hear about it. Go check it out, folks. Go to CARM, look up elected officials, and you'll find the document there. Hey, be right back, okay, Mike? Four open lines, folks. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, we have four open lines. Please give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, Mike, you still there?
I am. So that's really good, man. There's so many questions out there, and there's so much information that, I was watching something, people was people are saying something about the ship, and Hillary Clinton had, what was it, she had sex trafficking on the ship that was stuck, and it's like, man, I don't even know what to believe anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot of disinformation, and, you know, I know I've heard a lot of things, but... you know, if you don't have documentation, I'm not going to say it. But if enough people in different places start saying the same thing, then, you know, I mean, like CNN, MSNBC, Fox, you know, Federalist, if they start saying the same basic thing, then I'm going to start paying attention. Because generally speaking, you know, there's a lot of well, yeah, there's just stuff, you know. But... even then, you got to be careful. So I recommend that people be careful all the time, but that they do their research. And I think it's necessary for us to do that. And so I've got, let me do this right here. I've got on the, let's see, states and territories, governor elected. Here we go. So let me fix that right there, and I'm going to save it. But I would recommend people go to the federal, the article, elected officials, and you know, I'm going to say something here because a lot of people think that all we should be doing as Christians is to just turn the other cheek, do nothing, wait for the pre-tribulation rapture, and we get to go home. And because the unbelievers are really bad, they're not nice, and so we'll just trust God, wait out our time. And that is not what the scriptures teach to do. It's the opposite of what the scriptures teach to do. The Bible says, occupy until he comes back. It means we're to be busy. And we're to fight unrighteousness. And Christians need to be united in what they are obligated to do. So what I started here doing is, I'll go to CARM and just type in elected officials. You'll find the article, elected officials and federal and state contact information. So I have it categorized under Christianity and government. There's articles there about that, and you can read up on various things related. What's the purpose of government according to the Bible? Is socialism biblical? What's the biblical view of stuff like that? And find your federal elected officials. I have the links for them. I've been doing the research finding them. Find your state elected officials. And so I have that information there, a general link, but I also went even a step further. Local elected officials, federal government agencies, the USA government contact center, the phone number, how to contact your elected officials is another one. And then I'm trying to go through state by state and provide documentation on the link so people can just go to their respective state and do this. I've only got four done because it takes a lot of work. Right. So the idea is to provide Christians with the ability to have quick information so they can email, they can call. And that's not hard to do. But Christians are so beat up about not being able to do anything that they don't do much. But we can make a big difference. All we got to do is do it. We can.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of the pre-tribulation rapture, I'm not pre-trib, but I've seen the verse that they use is where it says one person will be the field and mm-hmm. the other person will be left. And so I don't. How do you explain that? That's the only.
That's the wicked. The wicked are taken. It's not the good. If you go to Matthew 24:37 and following, and Luke 17:26 and following, that's where those verses are. And if you were to read the whole thing, read the context of both of them. Read all the way to the end of the chapter. You'll see that the ones who are taken are the wicked. It's. This is not just. Oh, you got to kind of look at it this way. No, it's what it says. Because the ones who are taken are the ones who are destroyed, according to Luke 17. And it says, two men will be taken, one will be left. And they ask Jesus, where are they taken? And he answers the question. He says, where the body is, the vultures gather. It's not to heaven. It's to a place of destruction. It's the wicked who are being taken in that context. It's not the good. And what bothers me is that it's easy to see. It's easy to read. All you got to do is look at the context, and you'll find out those aren't pre-tribulation rapture verses. They're not. But why is it that churches all across America, pastors all across America, they just say it's a pre-trib rapture, and they haven't even bothered to read the context? That's disturbing.
Right.
That's disturbing. And it just tells me they're not doing biblical exegesis. They're doing biblical repetition, denominational repetition. No, come on. Get in there, do some serious study. You know?
Well, I'm glad now that I have Luke 17, so I appreciate it, and I appreciate you talking about it.
You're welcome, man. God bless, buddy.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Mike from Greensboro, North Carolina. We have three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
Doing all right. Doing all right. What do you got, buddy?
So, I just wanted to start off saying that I'm 26, about to be 27, and when I first became saved, my father in the faith, I call him that, I don't call him father, but he showed me your website almost 10 years ago, and I've used it as a reference when I evangelize probably over 1,000 times, and you know, I just want to give a big shout out to you and thank you for your website. You know, it has, you know, I don't see you, I didn't know you had a YouTube channel until recently, and it looks like, you know, you're still preaching the same thing, and you know, that's really admirable that you're not changing.
No, I just stick with what the Bible says. And if people don't like
sir,
it,
yes, sir.
That's it, you know.
100%. So my question was, do you know the Earth is flat?
Yeah, the flat Earth theory? Yeah, that's a bogus theory. Not true.
Bogus theory?
Yeah, it's not true.
Why do you think that?
Well, because the Bible doesn't teach it, for one thing, and physics doesn't allow it, for another. And let me give you one very quick way to disprove this, flat Earth, okay? So imagine a 3-foot diameter table that's round, and that'll be the flat Earth. And then put a dome over it. Say the dome is 2 feet high, 2.5 feet high, doesn't matter. But you get a dome over it, because that's what they teach. There's a dome over the flat Earth, and the stars and everything are embedded in that dome. And then the sun and the moon are either embedded in the dome, or you're suspended just below the center area of the dome, and they're the same size. The sun and moon are the same size, and they're above the dome, above the earth, underneath the dome near the top. You with me so far?
Yeah.
Okay, now, that means that any place on the earth, on that table, on that thing, can see, from any location, can see both the sun and the moon, because it's inside the dome, a flat surface. So if you have
not necessarily,
absolutely necessarily, it's straight line of sight.
Yeah, your eyes can't see that far all the time.
No, you can see that far because we see stars that are thousands of miles away.
Okay, so.
Hold on,
you're bringing
back, okay?
Up physics. You're aware of the second law of thermodynamics.
Yes, I am. Very, very familiar with it. Hold on, we'll be right back, okay, after these messages. Hey, folks, three open lines, give me a call. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. We're at the bottom of the hour. Why don't you give me a call? Three open lines, 877-207-2276. John, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right, so in my little construction there, if you were to take this table, 3-foot diameter table, with a dome, say 2.5 feet, and you put two balls up there representing the sun and the moon, all of them, all over the table, you have a clear straight line of vision. Now, there's a cloud in the way, you can't see, but the idea is you have straight vision. So if you can see the moon...
So you're saying you can see across the earth?
I didn't say across the earth. I said up to where the sun is, up to where the moon is. So you see the moon in both the night and the day. Why don't you see the sun in both the night and the day? Where's it go?
I see the sun and the moon right now in Florida.
Yes, I know. So during the night, why is it that you don't see the sun?
Okay. Because the sun is moving.
But it's above. It's in that little area up above.
Correct.
In the dome area. So you should see from any place on the flat earth.
Are you saying the sun doesn't move?
It depends on which view you're saying. You know, Because in the dome view,
it's an illusion that I think that the sun moves around me and that it's really stationary and we're moving around it.
Okay, you're not listening. In this dome
I'm listening.
Thing, the sun is visible by straight line of sight.
You're not answering my question.
The straight line of sight all over the Earth. Why is it that you can't see it all the time?
Because your eyes can't see that far. You think the ships disappear over the horizon?
Then why? It's not. It's circling. You don't. I guess you don't know what flat Earth people teach.
Do you think that ships disappear over the horizon, or do you think they disappear because of your law of perspective?
When I was younger, my vision was twice as good as 20/20.
You didn't answer.
I'm going to answer the question. I'm going to answer the question. When I was younger, my vision was twice as good as 20/20. Okay, I was tested. I used to live in Southern California. I would go to the beach. I would see ships slowly go down over the horizon, and I could see half of the ship was below and half of it was above. It wasn't an issue of perspective.
Yeah,
let me ask you the question. Let me ask you the question.
Bottom up because
let me ask you the. Let me ask you the question.
Things do it in a hallway that's less than a mile long, and you know the famous specificity is 8 inches per mile squared.
Guy, you're not making any sense. Look, why is
no?
It
I'm
that,
making very okay, much so sense,
John,
and you didn't answer
John,
either of my questions.
John, I answered
Matt,
the question.
You didn't
John,
answer either of my questions.
John, why is it that you can't see the sun all of the time if it's above the Earth, which is flat, up in the dome area?
Why the sun is a small local light, and it moves, so it's
okay.
far away from
where
me.
Does
that's
it move
I can't
to?
See it anymore.
Where does it move to?
It has its own circuits, like the word says.
Where does
you
it
know,
move
how did,
to?
How did it stop? How did it stop in the Bible?
Okay.
Did,
where does
did
it move to, John?
Joshua?
John, where does it move to? The sun. That you can't see it all over the Earth? Does it because
yeah,
the flat
it
Earth?
It has its own path. It circles the Earth.
John, it's according to the model, the one half of the Earth is lit up because
there
the sun's
no
on.
There is no flat Earth model. Just so
okay.
you know, you know,
all right,
you're,
go.
You're saying
go.
Someone.
All right, sorry, he's just not listening. He's kept interrupting, not seeing the problems with it. There's lots of problems. Let's get on with. We lost Hadasha there, I think, right over there in that line. Hadasha, Toronto, Canada.
Hello.
Are you there?
Hi, Matt. Can you hear
Hi.
Me?
How are you?
Hi, it's Hadasha. Sorry. Like
Hadasha? Okay. I like that. That's nice.
So I have two questions for you today, actually. So my first question is about sharing the gospel with others.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a friend who's a Jehovah's Witness, and we often like discuss different biblical principles. And sometimes you don't, like, see eye to eye with, like, some of the things you talk about. It's like, they share very distinct beliefs.
You're breaking up a little bit. I'm straining to hear you because it's like there's a pulse or something. So keep going, though.
Can you hear me then?
Yeah. Try it again. Go ahead.
My question was basically, will God hold us accountable for failing to win souls? And is it okay to move on from someone who refuses?
Let's do one at a time. Will God hold us responsible for not working to save souls? Yes,
yeah.
If he's called you to do it and you don't. No, if he's not called you to do it and you don't do it. Generically speaking, we're all called to do this, to share the gospel one way or another. And for the most part, most every Christian does. But there are going to be circumstances where, you know, say a mom is at home and just has what we have in San Diego, the moms group, which was all Christian moms. And, you know, you don't really kind of get out of that circle for 2, 3, 4 years. And so you don't really share the gospel because you're already with me. So is that excusable? Of course it is. But normatively speaking, we're all supposed to share the gospel. And if we can, great. If we can't, we understand, you know, legitimate reasons we can't, you know. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
So do you think it's, like, not okay to move on from someone who, like, kind of refuses to, like, listen?
Of course it's okay to move on. They refuse to listen.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, you know what Jesus said to the disciples? He said, you know, go into a city. If they don't receive you, you know, wipe the dust off your feet and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
So
and
it's okay.
My other question was, when you're studying the Word, what are some ways you can, like, easily decipher whether to take scripture literally or like spiritually or symbolically?
By reading context. And as you read the scriptures, you get more of a flavor of that overall context. So if you're reading, for example, the book of Romans, there's nothing really figurative in there. There is. There's a little bit of figurative stuff. You know, we're all true Israel at the end of Romans 2, spiritual Israel. But for the most part, it's very, very literal. And the Gospels, for example, are history. And the book of Acts is history. Well, Revelation is very symbolic. Psalms has history and poetry and symbolism written in. So it just depends on the overall context of what it is you're reading. And sometimes you can have a very literal area, and all of a sudden there'll be figurative context in it for a little bit. And that's okay. We just kind of discern, do the best we can, and move forward, you know? Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Okay. Well, God bless. All right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know, we have five open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. So, as summer approaches, calls often drop down a little bit. That's just because people are out doing other things and stuff like that, and that's fine. I'm reminded, though, sometimes the lack of callers reminds me that they not like what I say, and which reminds me of I'm going to say this again. If you, in our present system, you claim to be a Christian, and you are trying to walk with the Lord, you want to be a Christian, you want to live like a Christian, you want to think like a Christian, act like a Christian, then, politically speaking, you don't have any right to vote for people who promote the Antichrist teachings. Antichrist teachings would be such things as pornography, abortion, homosexuality, you know, LGBTQ, the pushing. Well, those are the really, they're very, very bad. Okay, they're very bad biblically. You can't vote for somebody, seriously, you can't vote for somebody who pushes and advocates those things. How could a Christian who's going to face God, and God says, look, I gave you this this right to vote, and you voted for someone who would promote homosexuality and abortion. Why would you do that? Well, because, you know, I don't want to waste my vote on whatever. And so we Christians need to start thinking biblically and stop thinking in, so to speak, practical terms about how you think this might be or that might be if you do this or that. That means then you're submitting the Word of God or dismissing the Word of God based upon your opinions and your circumstances. Now, I don't know how many radio commentators would talk like this, but it needs to be more. We as Christians need to stand on truth and stand on righteousness and not stand on whichever wind of doctrine, whatever way it's blowing, whatever direction it might be going, and we want to appease people. No, we're not here to appease people. We're here to be at peace with all people whenever possible. But we're here to preach and teach that gospel and defend the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the most important message there is in the entire world. Jesus Christ, God in flesh, died on the cross, rose from the dead 3 days later, and justification by faith alone, through Christ alone. Not by faith in baptism, not by faith in sacraments, not by faith in your sincerity, not by faith in good works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. This is the message that we need to be teaching as Christians. And we cannot be diluting our walk and diluting our walk with God if we're going to be promoting governmental systems that are antichrist, that are working towards secularism, the reduction of Christian freedom, the working for the rise of socialism, as so many of them are. We can't do this, folks. Someone's got to say it, and I'm going to say it. The reason I'm bringing this up is because people are complaining. So what? You know what? If I don't preach the truth, then no one will be offended. The truth is what it is. Doesn't care about your feelings. Give me a call. Five open lines. 877-207-2276. Give me a call, folks. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live. Taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
I shouldn't read something funny right when I have to get on the air. We're talking in the text chat, and So we got to talk about various things, and one guy said, do we have to call him Carmander? I never thought of that. I'm the Carmander. I get a kick out of that. Well done, Don. Funny. All right, if you want to give me a call, two open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Russ from Detroit. Hey, Russ, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, hey, man. How are you doing?
I actually called
last week. I don't know if you remember me. I was the secular humanist talking about morality.
Oh, I love talking to secular humanists, especially about morality. Okay.
Yeah, except that's not my call today. I had a different topic. Okay. And if you wanted to go into wander into that, that's fine, too.
Okay.
But I was doing some studying on St. Ignatius, or the Church Father.
Okay.
And there was the topic brought up, or I was reading the topic of the difference between paradise, heaven, and the New Jerusalem.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That he kind of tried to clarify for everybody, because everybody was getting paradise and heaven all mixed up. And I understand it, right? And correct me if I'm wrong. Paradise is like the bosom of Abraham, where the dead would go and wait for the second resurrection or the resurrection of the new body. Heaven is the seat of God.
It's one view. A lot of people think that it was the holding place until Christ had been crucified, and then, as it says in Ephesians 4, roughly 8 through 12, that he led captive a host of captives. That he looks like he may have gone down to paradise, and the people who had died in hope of the expectation of the sacrifice of the Messiah, he went and then proclaimed, not preached, but proclaimed the truth, and then ascended into heaven with them. That's another theory.
That was kind of my question, is because, yes, on the cross, Jesus turned to that one thief that, you know, I believe, you know, claimed it, belief in him, you know, on the cross, and said, today you will be with me in paradise.
Right.
And I was kind of thinking, why would Jesus be going to paradise? He's supposed to shoot right up. He's got to get out of paradise free card. He goes straight up to sit on the right-hand side. So where is it scripturally put that Jesus went down to paradise like the, what did he do, to talk to the troops or something like that?
Well, it doesn't say he went down to paradise to do that, but...
I know. I was just being a little...
No, I know you were. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, but try Ephesians 4, roughly verses 8 through 12. Just that pericope, and also 1 Peter 3:18-20. I mean, proclamation of the Spirit's now in prison. So there's, within Christianity, there's debate, you know, a friendly debate on what happened during the interim of Christ's, between the death and the resurrection. And my position, I lean towards, I'm not going to die on this hill, but what I lean towards is that upon his death, he went and made proclamation to the spirits on judgment, for judgment on them, and took the people paradise up into heaven, and then came back down.
Okay,
and was resurrected. That's my position.
That's cool. I mean, and those are theories, because none of that is really written down. But it's
right
an explanation for why he said he was going to paradise.
Right, because the man would die. And what's interesting is that when Jesus died, according to Hebrews 9:15-16, that means the new covenant began. So the thief died inside, technically, the new covenant. And the word testamentum is Latin for covenant. Old covenant, new covenant. Old Testament, New Testament. So Jesus probably went there, went down to paradise, went to paradise, wherever it is. And when the thief died a few hours later, went there and met him. You'll be with me in paradise. And then took them all up to heaven. So that's kind of what I'm leaning
towards. What would have happened if the thief died first?
Well, then Jesus would have met him. Down there. He would have, said, hey, there you are. We just saw
you. That's cool. Well, thank you for the answer that. I got a little bit of reading to do then. That was Ephesians 4, 8 and 12, and 1 Peter 3:18-20.
Yeah, that range. Those are actually very interesting scriptures. And if you want something else to read that's very interesting, is the book of Jude, which is only like 25 verses.
Oh, wow. And okay.
Cool. That'll get you thinking about other things that are related, because it's full of what? Stuff like that. Go, what? What am I reading? That's interesting.
Okay. I like that. All right. Okay. Well, thanks a lot for your time again, Matt.
All right, Russ. We'll call again. Okay.
All right.
All right. Let's get to Mark from North Carolina. Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Matt, for taking my call. And I don't really have a question for you. We agree on so many things, I can't think of something to stump you on. So, but I want to call and kind of rebuke or more rebuke that 27-year-old, bless his heart, for thinking about the flat earth. And, you know, it sounds to me like he uses his mind to understand God's word, and that's so unfortunate. So many young people nowadays do not want to listen to the elders and just at least listen to them. He wouldn't even listen.
No, he was
that's beside the point. The lady that called you and mentioned wanted to know how to understand spiritual passages from literal passages, and you answered her correctly. It's through careful Bible study and using the context. And I wanted to share, with if she's still listening, two passages that will help her understand that. And that's Ezekiel 39:12. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be bearing of them, that they may cleanse the land. A lot of people use that as a millennial kingdom. But if they turn to Jeremiah 25:33, they will get a literal passage. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. And hopefully that will help the young lady understand these things.
Well, she wrote them down and wants to look at them. That's certainly doable. So, but I appreciate that.
Yeah, okay. You're welcome. I hope you keep fighting the good fight. You're doing a great job.
I'm trying. There's so much heresy, so little time. But no try it.
Thank you, Matt. God bless.
All right, God bless you too. All right, let's get to Vicki from North Carolina. Vicki, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I just want to ask you, I used to watch the news all the time and follow politics all. Mm-hmm. But now it's like I get so angry. Mm-hmm. It's like I've had to stop watching it almost completely because of, I don't know what to do with all that anger I have, and it's like even I feel like I'll start having thoughts about people that I know and care about, and I know that they are kind of put the people in position that are there now, and I just like I and then I feel like I'm saying thinking awful things, and I think, oh, I can't do that. That's not right, you know. And what do you do? I mean, I know you probably get angry too, but how do you handle it? How do you manage it?
Having Asperger's, it's easier for me. So. It's a good,
really?
It's a good thing, yes. I can compartmentalize a little bit better than most, and since I'm an ASPE, I'm more robotic, so a little bit there. But plus, I've been dealing with heresies my whole life, whole Christian life, and so I've just gotten used to, there's more heresies, more heresy, more heresy. I do get upset. My wife said, she said, hey, you want to listen to something? It'll make fire come out of your nostrils. That's what she said. And so it did. I forgot what it was. I was so mad because of stupid government.
Yeah.
So ungodly.
There's a lot of it right now.
Oh, and the leftist wacko moron Democrats and the stupid wacko moron Republicans, they don't care about the Constitution.
Yep.
Some of them do.
Nope.
But for the most part, they don't. And, Ted Cruz is good. There's a couple other that I know are good, worth listening to. Mm-hmm. But, oh, man, our country's being sold down the river. And we've got a guy in president office, who's in bed with China, and his son is lied on federal forms for guns, and they don't do anything about it. It's a federal crime. The hypocrisy is incredible, and how the left and the media ignores all the stuff that Biden's doing. And then I was reading one thing where they're blaming Trump for the border crisis now. These guys are morons. Yeah. They're they couldn't find a way to have a wet paper bag. It was pointed downhill with an arrow, and there was oil on the ground. It couldn't get out. Gosh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Yeah, see, it gets me upset. Yeah, you're right. See? So what do you do? What do you do? Well, you just kind of move on and you just throw rocks at something. I don't know. But what I do, I have an outlet, radio. and I have the website, and I can teach, and various things. So, like, between the breaks, literally, I'm working on a web page, government contact information. And I'm adding the California information because it's next in line. Put it up.
It's shocking to me how much stuff you do.
Well, I do a lot of stuff. And I've learned how to multitask a lot because I have to. And there's not enough of me. Boy, there needs to be more of
me
hanging
around.
That's right. Don't tell my wife I need more of me. She would just stare like a deer in the headlights.
She might not want to hear that.
She probably wouldn't want to hear that. No, that's right. Because, you know, everybody thinks I'm great except for my wife because she's too smart for that. But,
I can tell the way you love her.
Yeah, I do. I love her. Yeah, she's a good woman except for her taste in men. Yep.
Well, she can't help that. You just sucked her right in, I guess.
I did. By activating the mothering instinct gene and the bewilder filter that girls have. And I just showed her some of my 19-year-old abs, and she didn't have a chance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, now I have ab.
Oh, you guys have been married that long?
34 years. Yes, we've been married a while.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and we're still married because we're Christians. We had some serious problems early on, and we would have been divorced if we weren't Christians. We worked it out, stuck it out, and I know when I do marriage counseling, I tell people, this is how it works. You stick it out, you keep your eyes on Jesus, and you go forward, and things work out. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. I know. Been there. Anyway,
that's awesome.
There you go.
Well, okay. I'll try to do my best, and I guess maybe I feel like I need to be informed if I can inform people that I know aren't.
You need to be informed. That's right. All right. Okay. Well, thank you.
I need something else about anger, sir. Thank you. Appreciate your help.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's righteous anger. It's okay to be righteously angry. It's not a sin to be angry. God gets angry. It's called righteous anger.
Okay.
All right.
As long as I don't let it affect me negatively in my mind, then I guess that's all right.
Yeah, that's right. Got to pray for him. Okay?
Yes, sir. I sure will. You take care.
All right, Vicki. Thanks. All right, let's get to Billy from Charlotte, North Carolina. Billy, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing Hulk right? Okay, by God's grace. So what
do you
got?
There you go.
Got about 1 minute.
I don't think anybody can stand any more of you, Matt, because people don't want to hear the truth, so they sure couldn't double up on Matt.
They could be slickified only so much, and then that's it. It's overdose.
Only so much.
That's right.
That yes, sir. Right. Mm-hmm. Large percentages of your listeners have some type of biblical background, Christians, mm-hmm. et cetera, but they just don't want to hear the truth.
A lot of Christians don't. Oh, there's the break. Darn. Hey, Billy, can you call back tomorrow? We got to go.
I can.
Please
do.
Right
quick. What's the difference in inheriting the kingdom of God and entering the kingdom of heaven?
Entering is salvation, and it's just basically kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven are interchangeable. Inheriting deals with legality. Call back tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
We'll talk then. All right. Hey, folks, God bless. We're back on the air on tomorrow time. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.